Welcome to Season 5 of the Fight Science Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan. In this series, we are further expanding our knowledge by speaking to experts in the fields of physiology, psychology, nutrition, strength and conditioning, and mindset training. We'll be speaking to the coaches and practitioners who do this every day, and to the researchers and academics who are at the forefront of the sciences. Today, our guest is Tyler Minton. Tyler is a regular guest on the podcast and one of the best known names when it comes to nutrition for combat sport athletes. His career in the field has spanned over a decade and he has worked with some of the best names, including Dan Cormier, Max Holloway, and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Last time we spoke, Tyler had just started his own business, appropriately named Tyler Minton Nutrition, where he expanded his services to everyone beyond the world of fighting. Since then, his business has boomed and he is now helping people from all walks of life achieve their best selves with their nutrition. I wanted to get Tyler on so we could have an honest discussion leading into the new year about what people should and shouldn't be doing to become the best version of themselves in 2021. There are so many great nuggets of info in this, so let's get to it. All right, green light means we are live, so back for another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. So, joining me again for a second time, very good friend of mine, Mr. Tyler Minton, all the way from Tennessee, America. Tyler, thanks for coming in, mate.
I appreciate it, buddy. It's I was excited to get on. I was excited to get on the first one. I think I was one of the first ones to actually like be on the thing. So it's been cool to see the evolution of it all.
Yeah, it has. It's funny because when I did that first season, I was kind of like, oh, I'll just do this and maybe do like 5-10 episodes and just get like the very few people that I know to come on. And now it's kind of developed into this this entire thing. So it is. It's cool. But speaking of developing into an entire thing, last time we spoke, you had just gone out on your own and started Tyler Minton Nutrition. Tell us about it. 2020 was a crazy year, but for you, you just seem like you're going from strength to strength. Tell us about what's been happening with you.
Yeah, 2020, I almost hate it when people like ask about it because I feel insensitive, but it's been the best year of my life. Like it just has been. It's been the best business year. Everything just grew. So I went off on my own, started kind of my own business philosophies and applying my own, you know, philosophies in nutrition. And man, it just connected really well with people. I tried to fit into the holes that I felt like a lot of other people in the industry weren't really satisfying. I kind of blew up. I've got, you know, we were talking about before this, like I'm getting to that point where I'm trying to figure out ways to help more people, but there's only one of me and, you know, I'm booked pretty freaking solid, but it's been an awesome transition to doing my own thing.
A lot of people that look up to you and they would have known your journey and seen how it progressed. What are some of the biggest things or top tips that if someone was listening and go, man, I want to get into nutrition, start this business. What have you learned?
Number one is answer your phone. I'm not even joking. I literally truthfully think a large portion of my success just comes from like my talking, like answering the phone if someone calls, answering the email, like responding, because if, you know, especially if people are paying you money and they want you, so literally just being available and the connection you form with a client is everything. That's one thing I truthfully feel like if you have, one coach that's giving just absolute best science available, but you can never get them to call, you can never get them on the phone. Like they're not good at giving that information. They don't have much of a personality. That just wonderful scientific plan isn't going to work because the person just didn't absorb it. And then you take another coach and they just have the absolute just garbage plan. It doesn't make sense. It's bro science. None of it works, but they're enthusiastic and they're just easy to talk to. They're always answering their phone. That person will definitely financially and successful, you know, be more successful. We see that all the time on Instagram. But in my opinion, a lot of times that person is going to do, they're going to have more success too, because, you know, if I have a great plan or a good plan, I don't follow the great plan, but I follow the good plan, it wins. So what I've tried to do is just marry the two. I've tried to, you know, apply that science and give the the best scientific approach that I can to these people, but also give them like a concierge service of you know, working with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you put out good info. That's the other thing. It's easy to get buy-in when you put out the good info. How have you found working with more Gen Pop? Now, everyone knows Tyler Minton is working with the elite level combat athletes, but you kind of broaden your spectrum, which is really good to see, and you're helping a lot more people. How have you found that working with the more general population?
I like it, you know, because it's different. I love working with you know, the top athletes and everything, but at the end of the day, at least in my eyes, you know, like they have a career. They're hiring you for an ultimate goal, and that's, you know, ideally to win a championship, and they want that. And then after that, it's kind of over. But there's just something really rewarding about, you know, like I had an application today from a guy. He's like, hey, I have the best life I could possibly ever want. Like, I love my wife. I love my kids. I have the best job. I'm just unhealthy, and I want to be able to enjoy those things till I'm 100. I'm like, holy smokes, that's awesome. You know, and you're just able to, the goals are different, but I love those goals. I look at those as, you know, like you're not working with a championship athlete, but you're working with someone who's truthfully just working towards something greater. And that's just to live longer, live better, and live healthier. So man, I've just found it rewarding in an entire different, you know, entirely different way. It's been really cool. I've been able to help a lot of lives that I wouldn't have if I just worked with athletes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And a big reason I do want to get you on is because what's the date here? It's December 29th here. So December 28th where you are, which means we are 3 days away, 2 or 3 days away from New Year's Eve. And we all know what happens New Year's Day. We get the new year, new me. And you know what? I kind of like it. A lot of people bag it out, but I like that. Like you're just saying, I like that people feel a sense of empowerment. It's why you and I do what we do. But it is a bit of a tipping point, and a lot of people take advantage of this new year, new me, and you see so much misinformation get spread around this type of year to sell, you know, challenges, programs, nutrition plans, supplements, whatever else. Tyler Minton Nutrition, probably one of the best sources of true nutrition information. Give it to me. What are your top tips that you're giving your Gen Pop if someone, say, puts an application and they go, hey, Tyler, you know, new year, I do want to start getting in shape. What are some things that you're first and foremost walking them through?
Well, the big thing, and I posted this last year and I'll post it this year and just change the dates. You know, the most successful diet of 2021 is going to be the diet you can follow until 2022. I don't care what it is. Like it has to be one that you're actually going to be able to do. You know, so I try to not wrap people up in all the details like we do with, you know, with fighters and all the science there. The general population, I'm like, hey, these are the things you need to do. You have to eat a calorie deficit to lose weight. You have to, but that doesn't mean you have to sit here with some fancy app and do all this. Like, you don't have to do that. So I just try to find ways to help them achieve what they need. I'm like, okay, here's what I want you to do. Everyone has a fit tracker nowadays. I want you to get 10,000 steps a day. Like, work on 10,000 steps a day. If you're working out, great. Still do 10,000 steps a day. If you're not, try to work out. If you can't, okay. Like, well, it just depends on where we're starting. 10,000 steps a day. I want you to drink a glass of water before every meal, a glass of water with every meal. Increase your protein. I want protein at every single meal. And I want a serving of vegetables at every single meal. Those are very, very easy, like just low hanging fruit that's just out there that will make huge, huge differences. This is on my actual application. And if I do, and I don't do these really much anymore, but if I actually do an in-person consultation, the first thing I'll ask is, all right, give me 10 things you're doing right now that you know you're messing up at. So list for me 10 things that you know are keeping you from your goal. And everyone can come up with it. They might have to think a little bit, but they start to write out, and they write out these 10 things, and they would show me on this piece of paper or through email. And I'm like, okay, for 30 days, stop doing that. That's it. That's the magic pill. Because if you're not ready to quit the things you already know you're messing up at, like, why are you on the search for all this new information? Like, you're not even, like, you've not even quit what you know you shouldn't do. You know, so that's something I legitimately will tell people: for 30 days, just stop. Just stop those things. And then we'll talk in 30 days and we'll start adding new information. And dude, that pays huge dividends. You wouldn't believe the amount of people who get that successful first 30 days just by knocking out the things on the list that they actually made for themselves.
What are some of those common things that are stopping people from achieving their goals and their health, fitness, and nutrition?
Yeah, they're all normally the same. Not moving enough, drinking alcohol is a large one. So we could just bulk that into, drinking calories. Snacking is a huge one, which honestly isn't even a problem if you're just doing it correctly. I would say the top ones are liquid calories, eating too much too often throughout the day, and just lack of movement. And those are why, I come up with those add protein, add veggies that everyone, you're more likely to not have to snack all day for getting those complete meals. Add water with, before a meal and with the meal, you're going to increase your hydration. You're not going to have to be turning to soft drinks and stuff every day. Those are, I would venture to say 90% of the applications I get, those are always in their top 10.
Do you have guys come into you with these more preconceived ideas about their nutrition? And we're talking a little bit off air about, the role of myth busting that we have to play when guys come to you and they're like, hey man, I'm trying this new diet X, and it's been working great despite doing all the things that you just mentioned, diet X is working wonders for me. And say, well, why are you coming to see me? But do you see that a lot? do you see that a lot when they come to you? And if you do, what are those things? What are some of these common myths that people come when they sit in front of you and they go, hey, Ty, I'm doing blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So I have a section on my application. My applications are really just a big soul searching thing. I've had so many people I was depressed after I did it, just because I'm asking things like that. I'm like, hey, tell me about your diet history. Like, what diets have you followed? And it's so common. You're like, the keto diet works really well for me, but this, I'm like, well, then it didn't work really well for you. I hear that a lot. The keto diet was one I was really successful with, the keto diet, but eventually I gained the weight back. I just couldn't sustain it. The carnivore diet, I've been getting that one a lot more recently because the carnivore diet is a new trendy fad and it's not anything long-term. So of course, any of the people having issues are new. Those are two that I'm constantly having people have issues with, or people that say, like, hey, I followed a plant-based diet. I lost some weight at first, but then I felt like garbage. I wasn't training like I should, or like I felt like I should be. And, all these things are just these diets with names on them, you're the fat dietitian, but you don't have a fat dietitian diet. That is just some weird trademark, only my way. Same thing, tolerant nutrition, but I don't have some new innovative, fancy spin on things. It's all just applying the science that works for every single diet that does work, and just applying that into something that people will follow. And that's the big thing. Any of these named diets, they're all achieving the same thing. They're finding a way to put you into a calorie deficit, and that's why you're losing weight. But what they're not doing is finding a way for you to maintain this, for a long period of time, and therefore you stop. And oftentimes the calorie deficit was so severe, you created metabolic damage during that time, metabolic adaptation, and then your body, you gain more weight than when you started. So now you're coming to me, tell me about all the diets that worked for 2 months. So.
Yeah, and that's something I want to get into a bit later on, because that's super, super common. But before we get into that, I want to ask you this and get your thoughts on it. Is why do you think people get into these diets in the first place? Or why do you think they're so popular, as opposed to ticking off these big ticket items like you listed before, the 10,000 steps, keeping hydrated, keeping your protein up? Why do people buy into these fad diets so much more?
Yeah, I think a few things. I think the hive mentality. Human nature, we have a hive mentality, and it's just that we want to buddy up against what other people are doing. It's not cool to, there's no cool diet name. Again, tolerant nutrition, it's fine, you're following me, but I don't have any weird catchy hashtag that gets my diet. So people want to do something that they can belong to, and that you get that same personality. You notice that same personality that wants to do this super intense workout program, also wants to do this super restrictive diet. They're just looking for something to belong to, so they can talk about it. And I really think that's a large part of it. They're just wanting to belong to a culture there. I think there's that, and then I think there's the path of least resistance. And all these diets, you know, they have at least one famous spokesperson that's just selling them on how easy this is and how quick this is. And, you know, that's just an animalistic nature of ours too. We want to find the path of least resistance. You see this with every animal. If there's a path, they're not going to go create a new one. They're just going to keep walking. I'm a big deer hunter, and you know where the deer are because they keep walking down the same freaking trail day in and day out. And you just got to get in front of that trail. Humans do the same thing. We're going to just go where other people are going. And I really think that's it. You know, it's those two major things. There's a lot of misinformation in America that even from, you know, the science world, I think sometimes too, that leaves people questioning everything. But again, the basic principles all go back to the same stuff people have been saying for decades. You know, I remember I don't remember, obviously I'm 33 years old, but some of the things in the 60s and 70s that these guys were saying that was labeled, you know, they were labeled as bro science. Now it's actual science. You know, they've applied science and realized that those guys were doing it right back then just because they were so in tune to their body and they didn't have all these distractions that we have. They were doing things that they knew was working, and come to find out they were doing it right.
Hey guys, a quick interruption of the podcast to keep you updated on what is happening with our latest product, TrainAid Hydration. For everyone that has been following along, you know that TrainAid Hydration is an oral rehydration formula that we have formulated alongside some of the world's leading hydration experts in order to keep you optimally hydrated no matter what you are doing. We are dropping in a couple of weeks' time, and if you want to keep up to date with the latest, then be sure to follow TrainAid on Instagram and TrainAid Performance on Facebook. That's TrainAde. All right, back to the podcast.
Yeah, and that's a good point of the large amount of misinformation. And everyone is kind of in that state of, well, I don't know, this person said this and this person said this, and then I read this over here and then I read that over there, and I don't know what to think. How do you go about that? And how do you have that discussion with your clients if they're trying to navigate that nutrition information? How do you tell them the best ways to do that?
I will say, a lot of times when people come to me and you know, if you follow me on Instagram, you kind of tell, I do kind of draw a hard line in the sand. So a lot of when it comes to my principles, but again, those principles allow for pretty much any diet as long as you're following the scientific principles that matter. So I will say I get a lot of the people, especially since I started becoming that guy on Instagram, most people who come to me aren't going to argue. They're already ready to just listen and, you know, shut up and listen. So I don't get that as much anymore, but used to, I would get, well, hey, well, if this isn't working, well, how about we try this, or how about I try that? I'm like, no, if it's not working, you're not doing it. Like, that's the thing. That's not the issue. I remember specifically one guy was just looking for every possible, you know, do you think it could be my chewing gum? No, I think you're improperly reporting the calories you're eating. And I think you're improperly reporting the caloric output that you think you're doing. And it was, well, no, all that's 100%. So do you think maybe it's this or that, it's just my metabolism, or do you think I have a thyroid disorder? I'm like, no, dude, like, I really truthfully think you're just lying to me about what you're eating. And I think you're lying to me about how much you're doing. Like, it just is what it is. It generally is that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a real thing. Yeah. And it's almost to the point where they're lying to themselves for whatever reason it is. Maybe that is it, because at the end of the day, if you want to lose weight, you got to be in a calorie deficit. Look, there's a lot of other things you can talk about in between all of that, but you've got to be in a calorie deficit. And that's something we see a lot as practitioners, where guys go, hey man, I'm not losing weight. Could it be this? Could it be that? And it's like, well, man, like, if you want to lose weight, there's one thing that we know works for that. How do you go about that? Because even the whole thing of tracking how much calories you have, tracking output, you know, we're lucky, we have access to labs, and even those labs, when I throw people in gas chambers and we can do RMRs, even then there's a certain level of ambiguity about the results. How do you go about managing all that, people tracking the calories in, calories out, when they've, you know, they've got the Fitbit and they may not have access to all the fancy pantsy equipment?
Yeah. So that's where consistency becomes so important. And I don't, like, you can't work with me for just a month. And that's not a money ploy of mine, because I want to trick you into doing more than that. It's because I realize that we might not get enough feedback in that first 30 days to actually know where you need to be. We can apply all that we know, all the science, we know all the data, all the labs, and it still might be off. But if we know we've been doing this one thing for 4 weeks and we have data based off that 4 weeks, we can adjust up or down from that and then see what happens the next 4 weeks. And that always works. But again, that's where that consistency has to be. And you know, I have a lot of my fighters, or a lot of my clients in general, fighters, injured population, I either have them following very strict, rigid numbers, or they're not. And then I just want them to send me exactly what they did eat. They didn't have to weigh, measure any of that, but just send me what it is. And then I'm going to do the math on my end and figure it out. And then we just dial up and down from there. And eventually you're going to find that sweet spot, but there just has to be consistency. You know, if you work out this week, you worked out 5 times, and next week you worked out 1, and this week you followed the diet 100%. The next week you follow the diet 60%. It's like, we just can't do much with that data because it's so scattered.
How important do you think that biofeedback is? Or I guess a better question is, how important do you think it is these guys recognizing that biofeedback and being able to tell?
I think it's extremely important for athletes and general population, more so for general population. With athletes, you know, like there's more than just eat this, not that. There's a lot of fine tuning you have to do, and based off, you know, like metabolic efficiency and things, there's a lot of other things you really have to look at. The general population, that biofeedback is everything. You know, like if someone, well, how do you feel? Like, I'm hungry. Well, is it, you know, like, can you control it? Is it like it's just ravenous hunger? Is it just a little bit hungry? No, you know, I'm okay. I'm like, all right, let's drive that a little bit further. Let's keep going. Like, hey, I'm ravenously hungry. You know, my sex drive's gone. My sleep's disrupted. I went and did a basic workout. I'm sore as can be. Like, okay, well, let's up your carbs a bit. I don't need data to sit here and go through those things, or I don't need lab data to go through those things and realize, okay, we probably need to up their carbohydrates a little bit. Or, you know, okay, I'm not losing weight. I am following everything. Okay, well, let's dial it down just a little bit. So that, for the general population especially, the biofeedback's important. A guy who was my mentor a lot, you know, through my early stages of this, Rob Wolf, he's trademarked or copyrighted, I can't remember, but it's, you know, like how you look, feel, and perform. That's his quote. He actually trademarked it, but it is important. Like, well, how do you look, feel, and perform? If those are off, well, it's not working for you. But if all those are getting better, who cares what anything else says? Like, it is doing, you know, you're getting what you need.
Look, feel, and perform, I guess there's a huge psychological component to that. And when we talk about food, there's so much psychology that goes into it. Do you have any approaches that you take with your clients, or any advice that you can offer to people who are thinking, okay, new year, new me, I want to get this going, but they understand, hey, there's this, all this emotional baggage and mental baggage I've got to take with me on this ride?
Yeah, my biggest thing, and especially I have some questions in my application that kind of throw some red flags for me if someone has an eating disorder. So I'm really careful with those. But the biggest thing is, like, hey, like, let's not weigh, let's not do any of that. I don't really care about that. Let's focus more on feel and perform. Because one thing I've noticed outside of your weight class sports, you know, like a heavyweight might just be, well, I mean, we'll look at Daniel Cormier. I'm not busting his chops here. He's one of my best buddies and a client of mine. Daniel Cormier does not look like a swimsuit model, but Daniel Cormier is worth well over $10 million because how well he has performed. I'd say it's well more than that. I don't even know, but he's worth millions and millions of dollars because of how well he has performed with the body he's got. So that doesn't matter. But in the grand scheme, the general population, if you are feeling better and performing better, looking better is just going to be a side effect of that. But if we only focus on looking better, I can't promise that you're also going to feel better and perform better. I can make you look really good and all that's going to go to hell. But if that goes to hell, the looking good eventually is too. But if we're constantly doing things that make us feel better and perform better, you're going to constantly be improving the way you look as well. It's just a side effect of it. Your world's best performers, go look at, again, outside of heavyweights and things like that, go look at your top performers in the world. They all look really, really good. And I promise you, they're not trying to look really good. They're just trying to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's tie this back, because that's a great segue into what you kind of touched on a bit earlier, when these guys go on these aggressively low calorie diets and they give themselves this metabolic damage. And it's a term that's become probably, I'd say, in the last, you know, 10 years or so, relative energy deficiency. And we always talk about red S and relative energy deficiency in sport. But I've heard someone say, well, it should be relative energy deficiency in everyone, because it can happen to everyone when you drive into these aggressively low calorie diets. Can you talk about when you're doing that, what are some of the side effects that happen and what are the consequences of that?
Oh, with women, it's the easiest. You know, women lose their period, and I see it constantly. You know, I owned a CrossFit gym for 10 years, and we were a very different CrossFit gym. I mean, we were doing a lot of strict pull-ups, strict chin-ups, deadlifts. We essentially used the CrossFit name to get clients. But, you know, and this isn't trashing the CrossFit world. I think CrossFit's been great. But there's a lot of people out there who aren't athletes, but they're following these really intense workout programs that are oftentimes, that, again, that personality pairs with really restrictive diets, and you know, they've killed their metabolism. And I see it constantly with general population women, like, hey, I haven't had a period. And I ask that when their last cycle was on my application, so I can kind of get that out of them. A lot of women, they no longer have a menstrual cycle, and it's because of how bad they've created that damage. For a woman, that's the number one thing. For men, it is, you know, every woman will tell you this, and it is, you know, it's kind of true. Women say all men think about is sex. It's a little unfair, but it's a little spot on. I mean, it really is. You know, it's just the truth. If your sex drive is off, something is seriously off. Like, you know, I'm not going to get into you know, asexuality and all that stuff, but it is a fact. As a man, like, if you just don't want sex, that is huge red flag. There's something wrong. You know, and it's more than just you're in a bad relationship, maybe. So that's the biggest one, man. Sleep. If your sleep's off, you're doing everything you need to do to try to sleep good, and you're just not able to get good restful sleep. Start to notice, again, if you're working out and you start to notice like a huge dip in your workout performance, you're constantly fatigued, you're constantly tired. One thing I've noticed, so it's pretty much all of the side effects of just being out of shape in general. If you start to see someone who's pursuing, you know, they're on the pursuit to be in really good shape, they're doing those things, then they start feeling the same way they did before they were in shape. That's just a sign they've overdone it. I mean, it really is the same symptoms of being out of shape become the same symptoms of metabolic damage I've found in people who are doing the things to get in shape. I don't know if you've seen the same, but it really is the similarities there.
Oh yeah, you see it all the time. And I keep coming back, and I'll give credit to Rob Wolf, Look, Feel, Perform. I haven't actually heard that. That's a really, really cool saying. I really like that. But it's cool because you can even break it down. You can see people when they may look good. They may look good, but they're not feeling good and they're not performing. And that's super common when the people are in this relative energy deficiency and they just drive their calories so low, their output is so high, and they're in this huge, huge low energy availability state. Tyler, what do you do if you find yourself, if people listen to this and go, oh man, you know what? That's me. Like, that sounds like me, or that's my partner, or that's my friend, that describes them perfectly. What do they do? What do they do to get out of that?
Man, the big thing, go to a doctor. I mean, first and foremost, you just need to go to a doctor. And I don't know about it in Australia, but I will say, and this isn't trashing doctors, but in America, your vast majority of doctors have very, very little nutrition education. Call them a spade a spade. It is the fact that's just a fact. But your doctor can refer you to someone who does, or seek out a nutrition expert, a registered dietitian. If you know, like if you can afford that. But the main things of what they should be doing, or what you can do on your own without seeing those people, number one, like, you at that point, if you're one of these people, you're weighing weekly, you're weighing daily, you have to throw that out. Like, you can no longer use that as a metric for success. It cannot be, because you have much greater fish to fry here, like we, as we would say in the South. You have issues that are just going to greatly shorten your lifespan. So the big thing is, I tell people, like, hey, let's stop weighing. I have people stop weighing for a month, because I do know that what's going to happen is they are going to gain weight in the process of fixing, you know, those metabolic issues. Like, hey, we're going to have to eat more food. And from what I've found, most of the time, first we start working on food quality. If there's just food quality issues, we start introducing better food quality. But then we're going to start adding carbohydrates, which, you know, a lot of times, the avoidance of carbohydrates is what got people to that position anyway. So then we start trickling up their carbohydrates just a little bit every 2 weeks is what I'll do. And I'll have them weigh at the end of that 30 days often and see. And some people I won't. Like if I know where their psyche's at and I know it's going to trip them out, I won't. But I do explain to them right off the bat, like, hey, you're going to spend some time gaining weight. Like we just have to. And I try to explain to them why that's so important and why we need to do that, because we're trying to set a new level of what maintenance is. So let's say, you know, just for the ease of numbers, let's say that you're at a 5, like 5 is your maintenance. So, okay, well, now I need a 2 to lose weight. Well, that's an issue, because the longer you stay at 2, well, then 4 is going to be your new maintenance. Then you're going to have to be at a 1 to lose weight. Like, okay, so we're going to have to spend some time feeding you at a 7 or 8, because our goal is eventually that a 7 or 8 become your maintenance, and then we can lose weight at 5 or 6. And that's what we have to do. We have to dial them up slowly and consistently. A lot of times they have to chill out on the workouts too. Like, hey, let's greatly reduce our cardio. Let's go back to walking as our basis of cardio. I think walking is the most underrated exercise on earth. I mean, it is literally what we've evolved from. Like everything goes to hell when we stop walking, posture and everything. That's a whole other story. But I have a lot of people like, let's just focus on strength training and let's just walk. I don't want any more cardio than that whatsoever. If it's an athlete, like, hey, let's drill and then do some basic strength movements. Let's stop going live. Let's stop doing all these really intense wrestling sessions. Let's dial all those back. Again, let's get your food up. And then eventually what we want to see is that weight, as it spikes, eventually we want to see that they just start kind of staying that same weight. And then we keep them there for pretty good time. I mean, I have a girl that I've kept her at this maintenance phase for about a year now. And it was really because we didn't even start to see her period come back. She was a CrossFitter and her whole goal was, okay, I just want to have a baby. And the doctor told me I might not be able to have a baby because my hormones are so messed up. So we were just dialed her up. She had to lose her abs, which did mess with her because she's just had a 6-pack all these years. She's done CrossFit. She lost her abs, but if she posts a picture online, I won't see who it is, but if she posts a picture online, 99% of females out there would just kill to have the body she has now, even without abs. And we kept her there for about a year at this maintenance. And now we're going to start actually driving her down just a little bit to drop back down and get her at a good, healthy, you know, a good, healthy spot. So again, and that healthy spot, I've already told her it won't be as lean as she was before. Those aren't her goals anymore. CrossFit Games isn't her goal. Being a mom is her goal. And that looks way different feeding a mom than it does being a CrossFit Games athlete.
How much stock do you put into all of those, like your sleep, your stretch, your hydration, all of the things that people may not think of right away when you say, hey, you need to get healthy and, you know, improve your nutrition? They might just think of food. How much stock do you put into all those?
Yeah, so the thing is, all those, as you know, and a lot of people just don't realize, none of those, the gold standard of weight loss is calories in versus calories out. You have to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. You have to, period. That isn't, you can't argue it. It's impossible. You can try. But all of those other things, what they do is they make that harder. Like they affect your energy output. They affect the calories that you're burning. So then like you, to reach a calorie deficit, you're eating much, much less. And that's where people mess up. They're like, well, you know, I don't think it's, you know, I've seen people say this for years now, like, well, you don't have to be in a calorie deficit. It's just about hormone health and this and that. I'm like, well, no, it's still a calorie deficit. But what you're trying to say is all these other things have damaged your hormones and damaged your metabolism to where that 5K that would have burned 500 calories for this person, it's burning, you know, 200 or something for you. You're not burning as many calories as you should because your metabolism's jacked up. It still comes down to calories in versus calories out, but all these other factors are important to get your metabolism in the working order. If you're not sleeping, you're missing out on so much. And you know, I've got a 4.5-month-old baby, you know, so I'm the 8-hour watching for me, it's not too bad because my girl is breastfeeding, but to sit here and tell her like, hey, if you're not getting 8 hours of sleep, you're just, it's pointless. It's not happening. Like she's not getting 8 hours of sleep. It's impossible for her right now. So we have to look at all the other factors. So like her activity level, she's a massage therapist, so she's constantly working all day. So like her workouts are way, way, way down right now as compared to when she was able to get more sleep and do those things. Cause again, if we tried to pair, say her poor sleep she's getting now with her daily routine as a massage therapist that has a very high, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, she's burning a lot of calories at work. She's not getting sleep, and now we throw her back into this CrossFit world. Well, she's going to create so much metabolic damage that, you know, she's going to go from, she's got a, you know, a great body now, but she's going to start noticing those issues. She's going to start putting on body fat. So we just have to adjust all those little things there, but it all comes round to keeping the metabolism healthy to where your body burns the amount of calories it should when you're doing the things to burn calories. And that way we can adjust the food. And ultimately I hate having to pull food down. I would always prefer to add a little bit of activity, and pull food down just a little bit. I never, you know, if we have activity and food, I hate doing this and I hate doing this. So the problem is people usually do this. Like, we really just want to come a little bit up and a little bit down. And if we can maintain that, you know, that's ideal. But you have to do that in accordance with everything else. Like, you've got to be doing everything you can to be getting sleep. And the hardest right now, especially for people like us, you know, like, we can do everything we want, but if you tell someone like me or you not to stress, hey, don't stress. I need to live a very stress-free lifestyle. It's like, okay, you've never dealt with a weight cut. But these are all factors that do, they do play a huge role, but all they're doing is playing a huge role in your ability to burn calories and consume calories.
I got two more questions for you. One more question really, and then one more little thing I want to do with you. But last question, low hanging fruit for the people that are listening. They go, okay, I'm doing it. 2021 is the year for me. 2021 absolutely sucked for whatever reason. I'm doing it. Can you recap and go over what are your low-hanging fruits, your big-ticket items? If someone wants to be successful with their nutrition, their health, and their fitness in 2021, what does Tyler Minton recommend?
Yeah, I just posted this on Instagram today. Get more sleep. I don't care. I'm not going to give you a number. Just do more. I don't care what it is. Get more sleep. Drink water, a glass of water before every meal and with every meal. 10,000 steps a day. Add protein at each meal. I want, like, do not eat a single meal if protein isn't part of that meal. And add a serving of vegetables with every meal. I don't care what it is. I need a serving of vegetable at every single meal. Those few things just by themselves are going to make such a big difference. I mean, it's just exponential. And cutting, the other one I would say is cut liquid calories. Understanding that every now and then you might have a drink, that's fine. But I promise you, if your goal is to consistently not doing it, those little times you do it aren't going to make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Now, very last thing I want to do before I let you get back to your night. You know the word association. Have you ever done word association where I'll say a word and you tell me what you think of it? We're not going to do one word. I'm going to give you between 1 and 10 words. I'll say the word and you tell me what you think of it. I'm going to go through some common fad diets that people are probably going to be reading about going into 2021. And I want to get your expert opinion on them. So first one, ketogenic diet.
Metabolic damage.
Ooh, I like that. Low carb diet.
Not sustainable.
Ooh, also good. Carnivore diet.
No long-term evidence.
Plant-based diet.
Bad for athletes.
What about juicing?
Stupid.
I'm sorry. That is awesome. All right. This is going to be a phrase, and this might be a little bit tougher, but two more to go. Best ways to lose body fat.
Calorie deficit with adequate protein.
That's good. That's good. I like it. Very, very last one. And I think we've pretty much gone over it, but just to recap for the guys, best way to get in shape in 2021?
Do a little bit more, eat a little bit less. No, seriously, just start finding little changes that you can sustain. It literally, find the small, again, the low-hanging fruit that you can sustain through 2022. If it's something that you just look at now, I'm like, nah, I can't keep doing that. Don't even attempt it. Small changes, long period of time.
Man, that's awesome. I think if there's one podcast that people should listen to before they start their 2021, it is exactly this one. But Tyler, I know you're super busy, mate. Always a pleasure talking to you. Such a good episode, mate. Thanks so much. I know people listening to this are going to go, you know what? I need Tyler Minton in my life. I need him guiding my nutrition in 2021. What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Email is tylerdminton@gmail.com. And I'm promise you, I will respond. Again, what I said, I always want to respond. Instagram, is Tyler Minton Nutrition. I put a lot of, like you do, you know, I put a lot of free information on there. I had someone reach out recently that's lost 100 pounds in 2020, never hired me. I've never spoke to them one time. And they follow me on Instagram and just follow the principles that I talk about on Instagram. They lost 100 pounds in 2020.
Oh, man, that's amazing. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, Tyler. Well, mate, thanks so much for coming on. And no doubt we'll chat again soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it, buddy.
And there it is, another episode of the Fight Science Podcast. If you need some advice for getting in your best shape in 2021, there you have it. As Tyler said, he puts out a ridiculous amount of great content over his socials, so be sure to follow along so you can soak in all of his knowledge. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, and you'll also be able to download it from my website, www.thefightdietitian.com/podcast. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, then be sure to head to the podcast app to give us a rating and leave us a review. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the Fight Science Podcast.